Blog Talk Radio.
There's a new book you should not buy, because this author, there's a little blurb about this one, and I can describe him to you in one word: universalism. There's no heaven, there's no hell. You just make your choices and you make the best of it you can right here, you know, and then when it's over, you know. It's like the poem about the dog, see? I had a little dog. His name was Rover. And when he died all over. Well, that's what we're trying to do. It isn't so. But you see, this guy is saying, well, God is love. And love conquers everything. Which is true, isn't it? Love conquers everything. But it's not this emotional ooey-gooey. A reworking of the philosophy about 20 years ago, I'm okay, you're okay. And it's true what Paul is saying. God loves us the way, just as we are, which is true. But I also like how Max Lucado puts the second part to that in the title of his book. God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Because God is at work in our lives to bring us into the likeness of Christ. And so much of what is going on in the world, Lee Church, is keeping us from Christ's likeness and making us more like the world. so that we can be very pluralistic. Be tolerant of anything and everything. All right, religion, it's a tight prison. Then immorality is another big prison, isn't it? Immorality. We now have been told that we have established an amoral society. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing right, it's whatever seems good to you. That's what it is. And so nothing is right, nothing is wrong. There are no absolutes, there is no standards. We've come full circle, I think, to where Israel was at the end of the book of Judges, where everybody did what was right in his own eyes because there was no king. And so today things are based on one's wants or feelings, a disregard for God and for the word of God, and that leads to perversions. But we say, oh, you know, we're free. But have you noticed all these various things somehow require us to justify them? Today we call it people living together. There really is no living. The old term of shacking up described it much better. And, you know, changing the terminology doesn't change the imprisonment. And it's the same with homosexuality. It is unnatural and it is ungodly. You know, we say, oh, no, it's just an alternate lifestyle. Isn't it something, you know, we end up trying to justify all these things. Now we say, now the governments have decreed that gay and lesbian marriages are okay. Well, the government may say that, but God doesn't. And God is the one that counts. Adultery is viewed as normal behavior. I suppose if you're in that prison, it's normal. But that's the prison from which Jesus has come to proclaim deliverance. Did you know in this country now, more than half of all babies born, and that's no counting of abortions, but more than half of babies born are from adulterous relationships, not from a normal family. Divorce and remarriage are common, but it's still not the biblical norm. See, it's a prison. It's a prison. And every turn we have to justify those who are those in gay lesbian marriages, for example, justify. Oh yeah, it's our right. But you know, have you ever heard anybody try to justify the fact that they have a heterosexual marriage? We don't have to justify that which is right. It stands on its own. But all the things that are amiss, we have to make it sound good. Well, I don't want to go into all of this sort of stuff, because there's a whole bunch of prisons. Power is a big prison, isn't it? Prestige is a big prison. Pride, soulishness. Soulishness is the world's greatest deceiver. Power is the world's greatest slave driver. I mean, you can just see all these sort of things. So, from these prisons, Jesus has come to declare deliverance, release. He has come to spring the lock on the door, to set us free. It is even more dramatic than the angel who came and released Peter out of that prison back then in Jerusalem. I want us to listen to these words from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Okay, listen. I'm reading from verses 16 all the way to 23, I guess. Know you not that to whom you present yourselves as slaves unto obedience, his slaves you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that whereas you were once servants, slaves of sin. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as slaves unto uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. But what fruit then did you have of the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you have become slaves of God, and you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are slaves to whoever we obey, whether it's of sin that leads to death, or of obedience that leads to righteousness. So we're all slaves. But the question is, whose slave are we? Whose prisoner are we? Who holds us captive? So I want to finish up and look at another slave owner, prisoner, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the world's greatest liberator. When we are bound to Jesus, when we are his prisoners, then we are really free. Didn't Jesus himself say, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. But we are free because we belong to Christ. We're not free because we're out here on our own somehow. So we're either bound prisoners or free prisoners. Look at the letters that Paul wrote. He was proud to identify himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a high honor for him to identify himself as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ.